Dashes and Glasses is back in full effect. Eric Fontanez here, as per the usual, with my man Jay Watts, Justin Waters. What's up, Jay?
What's going down?
Oh, you know, the usual. Just recovering from another evening of basket hoops or basketballs. The balls of baskets.
This was a good one.
OKC and Dallas, man. They were, it looked like Dallas was going to run away with it. And then all of a sudden, OKC comes storming back and Dallas starts fucking it up towards the end.
Dude, they couldn't run anything.
Not a damn thing. And I kept thinking of you and how, like, you talk about Luka always raising his hands and complaining to the ref. You're like, that's all I heard on broadcasts and pods this week was just Luka's continuous bitching to the refs. It's like, come on, man. Eventually you just gotta say, you know what? Yeah, that was a foul. Or no, that wasn't a foul. Good call. Just
long play, buddy. Long play. You don't need to complain for every call. It's just gonna turn those refs against you at the end of the day where they start resenting you, even if it is a borderline call. They're like, this dude complains for everything. Fuck it. I'm just gonna call it again. And speaking of referees, Scott Foster.
Whoa. Oh, your boy. Wasn't he looked like he had some sort of herp thing going on his face the other day. I don't know what Scott Foster's getting into between these playoff games, but doesn't look sanitary.
They need to move his role elsewhere. He needs to move into a role where he's off of the basketball floor. Too many kids.
I hear OnlyFans is a good stream of income.
Whatever floats his boat, you know, just as long as it's not on a basketball court there, Scott.
Scotty. Tim Donahue's best buddy.
Dude, the call sheet and the call log on that conspiracy, people, check it out. Super suspect.
Suspect is real crazy. Suspect.
Yeah.
Okay, so we made our predictions for the first round of the playoffs last week. Or I'm sorry, the second round of the playoffs last week. On the first show regarding the second round of the playoffs. See, that's where my brain was doing there. Anyway, and I was pretty confident in my picks. You seemed pretty confident in yours. But then we played a week of basketball that was chaotic, to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots going on. The only series that I think really didn't surprise me was Boston and Cleveland. Boston's up 3-1 currently as of the night of this recording. Monday night. We usually record on Sunday nights, but last night was Mother's Day and I was just like, we're both married men with children. We don't want to get in trouble by having a podcast on Sunday night. As of this recording, Boston looks like they're running away with it and going to the Eastern Conference Finals if they win one more game. They won today pretty handily, even without Kristaps Porzingis, which is, pretty good showcasing given the circumstances. But at the same time, Cleveland didn't have Donovan Mitchell, had a strained calf, which in my ears sounds like a torn something, but they're just not going to say it.
Yeah, it could be true,
Conspiracy brain is going off on that one.
Yeah.
We're still thinking Boston's going to win this, right?
Yeah, Boston, they're just so I want to see something out of them, and I just see like media, I just kind of cruising through, and I don't think that they're good enough to cruise through like how they're kind of doing it. So I'm not like super impressed with them. Not like Derek White, our guy. He's doing well, but nobody else is really like, you know, where you're like, we got to watch that game, I got to tune into that game, these dudes are hooping. Almost everybody else has that player or, you know, players, and they have those players, but I just don't see, you know, I'm being a stubborn basketball fan, I like, it's cool, but it's not, it's like
my biggest question mark with Boston's approach is how many minutes they're playing Al Horford. You know, the guy's 175 years old.
Dude, he was gassed.
Gassed.
He played 40 minutes. I don't think he hit three.
Yeah, he was playing. He was playing nearly the whole game. Yeah. Tonight they changed it up. He only played 28 minutes tonight. So
yeah,
obviously, Joe Mazzulla, head coach of the Boston Celtics, decided to pull his head out of his ass and finally make a decision that benefits his players and his team. Jason Tatum, he's obviously the man in Boston, but there's something missing, I feel like, from Tatum's game. Like, I feel like he's good, but he's just pretty good. You know, if that makes sense.
Like he's got like top 10 talent, but then you're not seeing top 10 game. I feel the same way. Like, it's hard to explain. It's like I guess when he was younger, you saw that ceiling and you're like, oh,
there's sky's the limit
to that. There's more to that. It's going to go. Sky's limit. It's going to go higher. We're going to keep going higher. And then you don't get those performances that, like, you know, some other players will get here or there where it's like, oh, okay, he's not, you know, he's here for this. He's ready for this. Like, it's almost like we've seen those performances more consistently. And it's like, from him, it's kind of, I don't know. It's like he's hit a, like we said, kind of like he hit a ceiling. I don't know if his game is.
Yeah.
It's weird because he has game, obviously, but it's maybe, I don't know. It's just the way it translates. It's not eye popping when his talent's eye popping.
Yeah. You know, when I see him play, I always feel like he's got this kind of hitch in his jump shot that makes me make it seem like he has to try really hard to shoot it. Like he's got full extension on the legs. His traps are all the way out here. And like the beginning of his shot is way above where it should be.
Hitch is a good word. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know, and it's resulted in him being like, not a mediocre, but I guess average 3-point shooter. He was only 2 of 8 from the floor from behind the arc tonight. And I just like, you can't tell me like you're going to win the NBA finals with your main guy shooting 11 of 25 from the field. Like that's like, you better have your supporting cast better be on point that day. And his supporting cast was good today. Jalen had 27. Horford, like I said, played a good amount of minutes, not too many, only 28. Derek White was 1 of 6 for only 5 points, which, you know, is not great, but they were on the plus side for everybody with the exception of Luke Kornet. He was -4 when he was on the floor, but I guess it really didn't matter. Cleveland just does not have the pieces right now and to get past Boston. I think Boston's going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals against one of two teams. One that I picked and another that you picked. I picked my New York Knickerbockers. Picked the unbelievably disgusting Indiana Pacers.
Well, the war of attrition, bud. And you guys right now guys got duct tape on people's ankles and we're just trying to hold shit together. Thibs is finally having to bring guys off the bench that took, you know, like I hear all the criticism, they're like, oh, he's playing them to death. And like, you're like, yeah, that's how Tibbs coaches. But like this time around, he really has no bodies. Like he really has to work these dudes. Like he's literally at the end of the bench when you lose 4 of the rotational dudes who are injured. Yeah. You have I see some Burke got some minutes. And I feel
Burke,
like he has
Alec Burks played 23 minutes in his last game.
What did he finish? What was his numbers finished with?
He had 20 points, 5 boards, 2 of 6 from 3, 5 of 11 from the field. Most of his points came from a good amount of his points came from the free throw line. He shot 8 of 10. But yeah, man, Jericho Sims got some playing time.
Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable considering Thibs' anti-young guy approach to coaching basketball.
Dude, but he's these guys are, well, Brunson doesn't look healthy. You could just his numbers, shooting percentage, everything. The last two games have been down because dude's hurt. They're riding this dude like Seabiscuit. I mean, really riding him. And then he gutted out that other game. Was it game two that win? Mm-hmm. Where, I mean,
he came back. He missed the second quarter. Came back in the second half.
Yeah, this is why I, you know, Nostradamus here. That's why I chose the Pacers, was because of that aspect of, like, imagine these dudes had the first hard series. He's riding them tough, and then you lose a guy, another guy, and then it's now he doesn't. Now there's no Anunoby, which he might have been able to get away with 6-man rotation, 7-man rotation, but like now you lose Anunoby, so. Those other dudes, I like McBride. Burke's a, you know, steady bench dude, but is that enough to pass the Pacers? And I feel like the Pacers are getting their little confidence back, because those first two games, well, the first game, you guys got some home cooking.
Stop it.
Back. Oh, get out of here. Stop it. That was a nice one. What's that? Scott. That wasn't Scott. Scott wasn't there. I just missed it. But it's like, I think because those first couple of games, the Pacers kind of, they didn't look, like I said, I feel like if they were the young early season, that hungry, you saw that type of play Pacers, I was like, that's the dangerous Pacer team. And first couple of games, I don't think that they were near that. I think they're closer to that now.
Yeah. Listen, I'm always going to be a New York homer. Like, you're always going to hear me praise the Knicks, even when we're, you know, 70 or 10-72. But I realistically speaking, they have, beyond Jalen Brunson, no offensive options. Like
off their own, like creative.
Yeah. Yeah. Like DiVincenzo, as much as I like the guy, he's a spot up guy. Josh Hart, not really great offensively, great defensively, great at picking up boards for being 6'4". Love it. He is not an option to on offense. Who else? Isaiah Hartenstein. His hitches is worse than Halliburton's when it comes to shooting from 13 to 15 feet. I can't deal with it. And then you got Miles McBride, Deuce coming off the bench. That's basically their only other guy who could step back and hit some shots, but he's mostly a spot up guy. And who else you got? Nobody. Alec Burks is not going to be the answer. I saw somebody posted something on Instagram or Twitter, or one of those, where they split Alec Burks' face with Michael Jordan, and they were saying only one man can save us now. It was Alec Burks.
The hero New York never knew they needed.
That's never funny. Knew they deserved.
Yeah. Alex Burke. Dun, dun, dun,
yeah, it's a gloomy night in New York City, man. Like, it's we are royally fucked, because we have nobody. And you're right, you mentioned Brunson and him not looking good. That foot, I guess, is bugging him, and you could see it in his shot, man. Everything's coming up short.
I was watching Around the Horn, and the lady, I forgot her name, bless her, I forgot her name, but I was going to give her a little shout out. But she said that his, like, jump shot was like 2.5 inches shorter, his lift from, you know, last game, and comparing it to the first two games at home. And because she's like, he's hurt, like, he's out here playing. And now these playoff games are what once every other day. You're not getting like a huge rest in between. So that's where, you know, the long play, like, it's going to be harder for them. And these younger Pacer guys are, and their benches, the Pacer bench is starting to form this
Indiana's
little identity.
Deep.
Yeah. And they're, and Indiana's they're getting deep. A little identity started. And that's where, you know, we'll see. It's 2-2. So I still think he's going to go 7.
2-2, game 5 in New York. I feel like, you know, this was the first. What did we run? We ran almost everybody in last game. Like, we had everybody in the game with the exception of OG Anunoby because he's hurt. So this was, I feel like this was Thibs giving his guys a break. Like they knew they were overwhelmed going into game four. He knows that his guys need to rejuvenate and they need to recover. He knows they're getting hurt. Maybe he was rotating these bench guys in for game four, knowing that it's likely going to result in them taking the L, but our guys are still getting rest so that we could rejuvenate for game five and come back in New York in Madison Square Garden. Again, conspiracy brain, but it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you are coming back home. That was a hostile, little hostile environment.
I hated
Maybe
Indiana.
He's saving time too for Ananobi. Maybe he's trying to buy time. But they were saying that he's running underwater. He's not like game ready, but you never know. That's how, you know, they got these crazy tanks nowadays. So he's probably got shit coming out of his ears like Frankenstein. So maybe he'll be ready. A little cortisone shot.
You're not familiar with Star Wars lore as I am, but in Star Wars, they got this thing called Bacta tanks that
there you go.
People dip give in and
Bacta tank.
Yeah. I feel like they need to give every New York Knickerbocker a Bacta tank to have in the locker room.
I'm pretty sure they're sleeping in those hypobaric chambers. And
I hope so. They need to if they're going to run 44 to 48 minutes a game.
Yeah, man. Jeez. These guys are out here running a marathon.
Seriously.
And then it's like, they wake up, do it again.
Right? But I mean, I'm still going to go with my team, man. I'm still going to go with New York.
I don't mind homers. I don't mind. Don't worry. But I think my Pacers are starting to unlock it. Not my Pacers, my bad.
What I was about to say. What are you doing?
That was a Freudian slip. I got caught in the moment. Because I told you, the Knicks are all healthy. I'm picking them to come out of the East. If they had their whole squad, I think you guys would be the most dangerous. But you guys just look, man, just beat down. Like you just came through the Bermuda Triangle on a little ass raft boat now.
Like we're being held together with duct tape and super glue.
Dude, yeah. And then you got like some of the people in the street pouring peroxide on you doing anything. I hope, man. That's going to be tough, though. And that sucks because you want to see the Knicks at almost full. You know, injuries are a part of the playoffs, but like at least let me see them 80%, 85%, you know?
Yeah.
Not fucking having to do it with like 60% or 50. That's crazy.
And also, like, give me enough offensive options to where we could run an offense and we don't have to depend on Jalen to try to just juke everybody and take a step back or go to the rack with like two or three defenders going to take his head off.
Yeah.
Like that's all they have right now. That's all they have right now. And it's like, it's tough to watch and I'm going to, you know, hold my breath every time he, you know, it's 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter and he has to do it all himself. Like it's going to be tough to watch, but I'm hoping they come out on top. I'm still going to pick them, but I think last time I said it was going to go six. I think it's going seven now.
Yeah. We're going seven.
All right. Now what? Dallas and OKC. I think I picked Dallas.
You did.
I did. I picked Dallas.
I picked OKC.
And you picked OKC. And you're still standing by that. Especially after tonight, I'm sure.
I mean, yeah, but I don't know because, like, Kyrie didn't have a great game down the stretch. Missed a couple shots, and, like, I don't see that happening again necessarily. But I think, I mean, dude, there was a minute there where Shea scored, what, 6 out of 8 or 8 out of 10. He had one behind the backboard. The fuck, we were playing horse out here? Did you see that shot? He was behind the backboard. He even looked at his bench like, oh, yeah. That's right. I don't know though. Like we were talking about, like Giddy's getting played off the floor. That's a huge, I mean, as far as them go, like for me, you know, being able to have the potential to really go far. We talked about, I think on the last one or the part before, like he's going to get shipped. We got to get a nice veteran in there for them. Give Giddy and a pick to one of these other dudes and get somebody. Cause he's not doing nothing, but I feel like, we got to get Chet more shots. Chet needs to shoot the ball. He shot 9 times today. I think he needs to shoot the ball more. But again, it's, I don't know, those veteran guys, like, I think Luka's You know, he looked a little bit better today. But
he
they're going to live.
He was off today.
Yeah, I mean, like body wise, like he didn't look like he was dragging the leg because he hasn't been 100%. But they didn't. I don't know. They get a lot of corner shots, and I know PJ Washington's been knocking stuff down. Mm-hmm. But like these teams are going to live and die with if I can limit your obviously your good guys and let those role players got to knock down shots. And it's dude, I don't know if either of them if they have too much confidence, but I like Dallas though. When they play defense, man, they lock down on defense. I like how they're starting to an identity of some defense, mm-hmm. but their offense just went stagnant in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Also,
nothing.
They shot like shit from the free throw line tonight.
Which
they
is,
were
yeah.
12 of 23.
You can't do that.
Hell no, you cannot do that.
Imagine if they make 6 more free throws.
It's game. They're up 3-1 if that's the case.
Man, can you see the fucking little things?
The little things.
Free throws.
I think Luka had a pair of free throws late in the game under a minute left. He missed one.
Yeah, that was with like 9 seconds, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And then
first one.
And then I want to say it was Derek Lively. Yeah, Derek Lively. He's not a great free throw shooter to begin with, but he was supposed to make the first one. He missed it. So in that case, with the game being as close as it is, you got to miss the second one, get an offensive board, and try to go up. Yeah, he shot to make it, and he made it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's bad strategy down the stretch, fellas.
Not good.
Not good. Not good.
Everybody's got to be able to make a free throw.
Dude, yeah, they shot like ass from the free throw line, and that's just inexcusable, man. You know, especially at home, like,
yeah,
what are you doing? Dealing with MVP chance? Stop it.
You're
Stop
home.
It.
Yeah, you got to hit a free throw.
Yeah.
Dude, that's what the deep breathing. That's why sports psychology, man. I'd be right there on the sideline. Yo, breathe, motherfucker, breathe. Relax. Calm down the body and then knock them down.
In through the nostrils, out through the mouth.
It's a whole science. I'm trying to learn a little bit more than the just regular therapeutic breathing. I'm trying to get Bruce Lee deep on it.
Oh, so you could 1-inch punch a dude?
No. So it's more for when I'm, you know, flexing out these push-ups that go a little bit longer if I breathe right. And that's crucial as you get older.
I don't know. I feel like having a 1-inch punch would be kind of cool too.
Oh yeah, Oh yeah. Any punch power, it's like, I'm down. I gotta work on it. I gotta see my nephew. He's the one who could teach me. He was training my little one this weekend, which was nice.
Oh, is that your MMA guy?
Yeah, we're fighting. Listen to me.
Listen to you. You're on the Pacers. You're going into the cage next weekend.
Yeah. July 6th. Me in the cage just staring like this at the other guy. I'm like, don't worry, man. I'm psyching him out. He's like, bro, if you don't, please stop. I'm like,
Justin Waters bringing the flow.
Bah, bah. But then that's like the opposite of the therapeutic side, because then that's when sometimes you just got to go straight animalistic. And that's okay, too. As long as you...
Depending on the circumstances, depending on the situation. I'd say
that's another... Think about the mental part of fighting is intense when these guys could actually like master being able to like you're almost controlling your adrenaline. You're controlling. That's just fascinating to me, like how you could be so on top of your body to be able to get to the maximum, you know what I mean, of what your body can do. Pretty cool.
That's what Batman did.
That's why, actually, funny you say that, it's my favorite superhero. If I had to pick one of the superheroes, it's Batman.
Of course, Batman is the best.
Yeah, Batman's cool.
We'll have to do another put on that.
It's all, no special shit, okay? I don't need a special equipment. He has the great equipment because his R&D department is fucking top-notch. Technologically, off the board. But he doesn't
have to. He's also the world's greatest detective, so.
The crazy combo.
Yeah.
You go, Batman. You fucking go.
It's a rich guy with daddy issues.
Yeah, that's like a lot of them, huh? All these superheroes have tragic backstory, so that makes them so light to shine for us to lead. Was that a that a fucking poem? Damn. Let's get back to basketball. I'm getting a little too encyclopedia library right now.
Encyclopedia Britannica.
My expensive vernacular.
Hey, did you know that Gordon Hayward plays for the OKC Thunder?
I did. I barely see the guy. I heard he had the series got like 44 minutes. He hasn't scored.
In the series? He was DNP today.
Yeah, why don't... Oh. Dude, I'd rather see him in there than fucking Giddy.
Yeah, I mean, Giddy's young. I think that's why they're really high on him.
One more thing about my guy. Does he really have gel in his hair?
Giddy?
It looks like he has gel in the front. Like he's a European eighth grader who just came over and he's going to school and he put gel in that mop. I swear I saw gel. That's not sweat, bro. That was not sweat. I think he gelled his shit.
He gelled it enough to get 12 minutes on the court tonight. So
that's crazy.
Two of eight from the field.
Dude, this is part. Okay, so the first one was one of the conundrums of the NBA is the highest paid player doesn't have a left hand. And now a starter is getting how many minutes?
12. 12 minutes and 18 seconds.
12 minutes in a basketball game that you started all year. That's what the playoffs are for, right? It really shows and separates because everything is nitpicked. Everything is microscoped. You really get to see who has game and then who has the ability to take it to, you know, another level. That's the kind of thing with Jason Tatum. I feel like his moves in the bag is predictable. He likes to dribble, pull up. It's like you got to have more into that. There's got to be more. And I don't know. That's just the side thing with him earlier, but it really separates players from good to great. And it always gets everybody paid because if you perform in the playoffs the next year, you can negotiate to get paid more. I mean,
well, depending on what year of your contract you're in.
Yeah,
if it's a contract year, yeah, definitely. If it's an extension player option, then yeah.
We're going to be like, hey, guy, come on. Look what I just fucking did with you in the playoffs. I left my boys out there. My balls.
Yeah.
I didn't want to leave the boys out there, like left your team. That's not a good thing to say to the guy to get more money. Yeah, I left him stranded. I want to
right raise. There in the middle of the court.
I did it for you, coach.
Yeah. Josh Giddey is trash. We're not fans of Josh Giddey.
No, man. There was some like passing potential in the beginning a couple years ago. I was like, oh, this guy could, but his jump shot was always looking
awful.
It's elementary. Yeah, for sure.
Elementary, Watson.
Definitely.
Okay. So you're still picking OKC then?
Yeah, but I am worried about Dallas's their potential with their defense. I mean, it was kind of scary, but you got to sustain it for a game. And
yeah, I mean, their defense was good the entire game. It's just they couldn't hit the free throws throughout the entirety of the game, not just down the stretch, but just shooting 50% from the free throw line is unacceptable, and you're going to catch L's more and more the more and more you do that. So,
oh yeah, I'll stick with it just because we're at the same spot we were four games ago. So I'll still ride with them, but I would be a little concerned, especially that this next game, those guys aren't going to play like that. Kyrie and Luka, I think, are going to play better. Shoot better and whatnot, play better. So, but we'll see, man. It's going to be.
I'm making a change.
Whoa. Alert.
I'm flip flopping from Dallas to OKC. And
what did you see?
I said Dallas in six.
No, but what sparked this change?
Dallas's inability to Dallas's inability to hit free throws. that's terrible.
And
they were home. Luka did not shoot particularly well today. He only shot 6 of 20 from the field. He had a triple double. I mean, it was great. I think it was 18, 12, and 10.
Ooh, but 6 for 20 is rough.
6 for 20 is bad. It's bad. So, you know, I don't know if that knee is holding up as good as we're being told. I don't expect him to miss free throws down the stretch like that. And if this kind of play continues, then and especially with it going back to OKC in game five, like yeah. That's you know, a step below a death sentence for Dallas.
Yeah, because game five is, that's like the most crucial game.
Crucial. So I'm feeling like my pick was incorrect a week ago, and I'm switching over to OKC. And I'm not going to be one of those guys who says, no, I'm standing by my pick, and that's what I believe. No, I watched a week worth of basketball, and I have the data to reflect OKC is the better team.
A lot has changed.
But you want to talk about crazy.
Yeah, this next one.
The Denver Nuggets and Minnesota Timberwolves. I said Minnesota. Minnesota.
Get her done.
And the Minnesota Timberwolves. That series.
Yeah.
Completely started out different than I would have imagined.
Crazy how first two, I mean, nobody's won on their home floor yet.
Nobody. Only visiting teams have won. And they've been blowouts.
Yeah. And again, well, there's a little conspiracy theory alert on this one too.
Bring it up.
The Jamal Crawford thing, like, I don't know. Look, I'm not get off my lawn guy, but like, this is something that hasn't happened before. Like, the dude threw the ice pack or a heating pad, whatever, on the court during the game. I guarantee, one of these dudes slips on it, that's comedy, and it's this fucking crazy in itself. But
hold up, you said Jamal Crawford, and I was trying to think because Jamal Crawford's been on the play by play for a lot of these games. I'm trying to think back. What did Jamal Crawford say during the game? That's like that's
Jamal
so important.
Jamal Crawford's a saint.
He's a saint.
Jamal Murray. Yeah,
Jamal Murray. Okay, thank you for clearing that up.
He's a saint. But dude, think about going into game three with no Jamal Murray if you're Denver. That's the there's the death sentence. So that's the whole, you know, Adam Silver, we gotta keep the game moving. We can slide by. He's not a repeat offender, but still, like, I don't know.
He absolutely should have been suspended.
I mean, he threw it on
before he threw the ice pack or whatever it was, he also threw a towel. He's throwing it directly at the referee, man.
And him and his coach were bitching, and nobody got a technical.
Nobody.
So, but anyways, we'll digress off that topic. But this series, you thought for sure after the first two games, like, Denver's done. These dudes are cooked.
Yeah, Denver's cooked.
The Ant Show. He's got all the momentum in the world. Game three comes. These dudes. I mean, again, that's why you're the champs, right? So, like, this is what's going to help compel them, that if they can go and actually win another one, that it gives them, you know, more of an argument of like, hey, we're not a one flash in the pan. So they were tested and they answered, winning the next two. But what happened in game four was, if I'm Minnesota, which that was my pick, I'm a little concerned because, again, a favorite of the show, Rudy Yogurt, is getting laid off the floor, and he's the four-time defensive. Another part. Oh, that's part three conundrum of the NBA is how Rudy Yogurt is four-time defensive, and he's getting abused and played off the floor. How does that make any sense? That doesn't make sense. How are you getting played off the floor? There was a play where Jokic looked like he was at the Rucker. He did this move where he ball faked it and passed it around them. And he looked like that older guy playing on the court with the young kids, where he's like, look, watch this. Like, watch this, guys. I'm just going to come around here and make these dudes look. Throwing no-look passes, doing his, you know, eye-touch moves. That's where I'm like, maybe now we got Jokic angry. And now we're going to see, like, if somebody spit on his horse, how he would react. And maybe that's what we're going to get coming. Then, you like that Jokic. Like, if Jokic is already... I mean, he knows he could do whatever he wants with Yogurt, and he's getting used to.
He's doing what he wants.
Man, that was a masterclass this dude put on against him. So that's concerning for my Minnesota pick. But I'm thinking Ant, the rest of the team is going to be able to kind of push Yogurt off the plate, so to speak, and be able to still make something happen. But that series is just, how do you predict now? Both teams won away. So,
yeah, I feel like, you know, I mean, I feel like Denver did the classic, oh, this is Minnesota, we're going to run right over them. And they had that mentality definitely in the first game. And in the second game, maybe they were saying, this is a fluke. And then the third game, they finally came back and said, no, this is bullshit. We should be beating the fuck out of these guys. And what do you know? They have been for the last two games, with the exception of Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is just so fun to watch, man.
Yeah.
He, last game, he shot 16 of 25.
You got to shoot more. You're shooting that high of a percentage, dude. I need you shooting at least another
shooting 50 shots a game. And he played 45 minutes. And he was 5 of 8 from 3.
Yeah.
Dude.
That guy's killing.
He's a stud.
Aaron Gordon decided to make his first 10 shots and didn't miss a 3. That's the whole thing, is like, do you, you know, if you're in Minnesota, we'll live with that. He's not doing that again. But I was also thinking, like, this is the way where Aaron Gordon, same kind of thing we were talking about, like, this is how he can make, you know, up his own legacy, is to be like, I am more than a dunker, watch. But we'll see, because literally it's one game. And hopefully, you know, I don't know, he's not going to shoot like that again. I doubt it. But that's one thing that would really separate guys like him in his game, is like, if he had a 3-point jumper, imagine if he had a decent shot. Like, he really put in work on it.
I mean, he does have a decent shot, but just from a spot up perspective, like, he's not pulling up off the dribble. He's not making his own shot.
Even off of rotations to the corner, that's his best. Like, yeah, that's his best. That, I guess, isn't terrible. But if he's knocking those down at a higher clip, then how do you guard him? How would you, you know? I don't know.
This is the beauty of when you have a big man who can stretch the floor like this. Like, what do you do with that? And then you have to adjust to try to recover to pick up Nikola Jokic. That's the conundrum that every team faces when they play the Denver Nuggets, is that you have this incredibly gifted center in Jokic, and he's being surrounded with guys that are definitely fitting into their roles and where they should be. Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr. I mean, he didn't shoot a whole lot the last game, but he accepts his role there.
Shoot jumpers.
pull up off the pass.
It irritates me. His game is so predictable. He's doing the same three things. If it's a video game, the kid's pressing three buttons the whole game. And that part of his game, and I guess maybe it's because of his back, but I don't know. Maybe. That part, the his whole back pain issue, and doesn't want to get hurt and bang low and do stuff like that. Something that I heard, but dude, if he had a little bit of Aaron Gordon's baseline repertoire, you know, within his game, because you could be a spot up shooter and still slash.
But he's not as thick as Aaron Gordon, though. Like, Gordon looks like he spent some time in the weight room.
Yeah, I mean,
Gordon, he's 6'10", but
Gordon would probably, he's got bigger biceps if they were on Muscle Beach, sure. But Porter is no little dude.
I mean, he's 6'10", but he's not, like, he's only like 218 pounds, man. Like, he's skinny.
Yes, man. What does Gordon weigh? 240?
Yeah, it's close to 240.
Wow.
Yeah.
I still want Porter slashing this fucking same, the predictable ass shit. I want to see something else out of there. But I guess, again, like you say, when you have Jokic who's going to find you in your spots, that's why it's almost like you could almost interchange a lot of players, obviously, where Jokic is like, you're good at that, I'll find you. Most guys can't always find you in your spots, you know?
Right.
And he's one of those dudes who can do that. But yeah, man, Denver's, I think they got the chin check, you know? They walked in first day, new school at the bowling alley, thought they were the guys, and then the local, I was like, oh, shit. And they're responding. Game five is going to be intense, man.
Also, I think the biggest factor out of this whole thing that we're not talking about, or we haven't mentioned yet, Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, he needs to show up.
He needs to absolutely show up. If he plays well, Minnesota's going to go all the way.
He's the D-Lo to the Lakers situation. Like, you could
even start with the goddamn Lakers.
Oh, stop it. It's the same comparison. It makes
sense. No, it's not. It's not. Yes, D-Lo is, first of all, D-Lo is not as good as Carl Anthony Towns.
No, guys. Secondly, see, look at you. You just want to argue. That's not what I'm saying. Well,
because you keep bringing up the goddamn Lakers when they're two rounds out.
No, I'm talking about the role. Listen one more time. See, you get so intense because your Knicks are going through a battle here that you want to take it out on me. Listen, relax, woosaw yourself. I'm saying, there it is. See, everybody's better. I'm saying, in their respective roles, where if D-Lo, like Kat, plays to their, like, plays their game at the highest, like, close to their top potential, the rest of the team is humming. Because when those two aren't playing as great, even though Ant is obviously the engine guy, if he's the second best player on the team, if you don't have your second best player on the team doing something, he could unlock the whole Timberwolves team. If Kat came with some fucking balls, he could unlock it. Like D-Lo, if he stops being cool boy, he would unlock the team. That's what I'm saying. There's players. I'll find another team because you don't like the Lakers. Let me find another player who's one of those players. Let me see. Let me comb through here. Oh, funny. Draymond Green. He's that kind of a guy he unlocks the Warriors. When he's doing his shit right, every motherfucker's there on top tier. So it's that kind of comparison where Kat needs to bring, because he can't just be outside fucking taking a cigarette break like Vlade Divac. You got to get in, do something.
Notice how your simile went right to another Laker.
That guy's a Sacramento King, bro. I don't. He was a.
What
Laker
are you talking about? Time. He was a Laker for a good amount of years. King.
And for the hug with Magic, that little, oh my God, remember he was like a little kid. Anyways, I'm talking about Sacramento Vlade. Hated Vlade.
Hey, you hated Vlade?
No. I'm saying when he was on Sacramento, everybody hated him. The cowbells as a Laker fan.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. I'll even admit, dude, we got conspiracy theory on our side. That was that game that we beat them with all the foul calls. Yeah, we didn't earn that shit. I could say that. And I don't have Lakers tatted on me, but like fan for life. And like I could admit, dude, we got home. Oh man, somebody was in there juicing the place. So anyways.
Yes, please. Anyways.
He's so distracted. Bernard King. Bernard King, baby. Oh, this is not going to make it go any better. Check this out, people. I don't know who's on there, who's getting dunked on. You tell me. Who is it?
That's Patrick Ewing.
That is.
Getting dunked on by Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
What's that sound?
That was my real man, a genius grunt. Anywho, so you still stick with your team, buddy. This is one of those commercial.
You somehow managed to bring up the 2002 Lakers, Sacramento Kings, Vlade Divac. And fucking D-Lo, 2024 D-Lo.
Because I don't like the cool boy. And I'm just speaking, you know, sometimes we don't, that cool boy, when you're on the court, I don't like it. So I'm taking the chance here to put a little constructive criticism to my team.
I need to get like a buzzer every time you bring up the Lakers.
Just but like, you just jumped to conclusions.
That's just like D-Lo.
Like the guy in Office Space.
No, anytime, Justin.
Any player was a Laker, you're going to buzz me? That's all right. Are you sticking with your pick?
Yes, I'm sticking with my goddamn pick.
Come back full circle, everybody. Full circle.
Denver. I'm picking Denver.
Wait, six or seven?
I think originally I picked six. Did I pick six last time?
I picked six a couple times.
I'm going to say seven this time.
Okay. I think this is Ant's Ant's here. He's
oh, this is his year?
Sick of the old story. I think Ant's gonna, I don't know. I think his energy is infectious. And
it
we'll
is.
See if, yeah. And I think that hopefully, because then if those guys don't show up and show out, then that makes it easier for management to be like, all right, we got to do something, you know?
Yeah.
They got to shake it up. I like that they're big, but again, come on, Gogurt. You're getting played off the floor. That's insanity. You're the defensive player. You're supposed to be the best defensive player in the fucking league, and you're played off the floor, and Jokic is doing pirouettes. He looks like one of the little ballerina champs, like trophies. What is going on? So, you know what?
Maybe somebody else should have won the defensive player of the year this year.
Should have been Wemby.
Should have been Wemby. Yeah. I don't care if he is a rookie.
That would have been, I mean, he would have been rookie of the year too and defensive player of the year. I think when you look back on it in like 20 years, you would have been like, yeah, that made sense. Because
it absolutely does make sense. Like, yeah. Why they're giving it to Gobert for a fourth time. Like, no, now he's in company of Ben Wallace and I forget who else.
These are the things that poke holes in the game, you know, in the NBA game is like the little things like that. Some of these referees, the no accountability. Obviously, no calls, that nobody's going to get everything right, but. It's the accountability part. You still have replay. We still fucking shit up off replay. And then stuff like that, you know. You got a guy who's four-time.
Too much.
Fuck Wemby. A war. Ball Wemby. Out. I'm sorry.
Put some respect on Wemby's name. Okay, yeah, so you're picking Minnesota then.
Yeah, I'll stick with Mini and seven.
Mini and seven. Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. All right, man. So there are no more teams to talk about other than the ones who are drafting players in this year's NBA draft.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
not a lot of big names this year. Next year is going to be Cooper Flagg, my prediction, number one pick. That's going to be a nice pickup. I don't know.
Well, that's next year. This year is none other than Alex Saar from Earth. I don't know. I have no idea who this kid is. He's French.
This is the International Bowl.
They compare him to Jaren Jackson Jr., I guess. And I honestly don't know how to pronounce this kid's name. Zachary Worcestershire. Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire sauce. Nailed it.
Great minds, buddy.
The Matthias Bubulas kid, I like him. I saw him all-star play. I like his game. But and a lot of these other guys, I'm going to have to watch one of the pre-draft shows. But I did hear that this draft is just, it's not the
sexy draft.
No, it's not a sexy draft at all.
But you were talking about this kid from Kentucky, Reed Shepard. You like him, right?
Yeah, I like him. One and done, young. Heavy upside, but are you like, if you're Atlanta, are you taking him one and blowing it up and just saying let's start from the beginning or
no? I think they pick up either the kid from Perth or Zachary Worcestershire sauce. Shepherd's probably gonna go top three or top four. I guess he, like, the comparison is Kirk Heinrich, which is truly appropriate because he looks exactly like Kirk Heinrich.
Sometimes we do that too much. Like, the comps are, they kind of look like him, or they got to be the same ethnicity. I don't always like this. Some guys don't always have to play like another.
Yeah, they were probably like, all right, who are we going to compare this guy to? I don't know. Who's a white guy that got drafted in the last 20 years? Yeah. Oh, yeah, Kirk Heinrich.
Maybe Steve Blake.
Yeah, he's Rex Chapman.
Rex. Get him, Rex. Rex.
Get him. Oh, wait, here's another one. The guy that you were just mentioning, Matas Buzulis.
Yeah, I like this guy.
you want to know his player comp?
Uh-oh. Who is it? Stojakovic?
Turkoglu. Plus.
Wow. Turkoglu, huh? Turkoglu wasn't... He was solid.
Yeah, it was solid. Oh, do you know how you got pinched for steroids 1 year?
Really?
Yeah, you know Turkoglu when he played for the Magic.
Buff? What's he doing? That's got to be off an injury or something, right? And guys,
I'm pretty sure that was off an injury because you look at Hiro Turkoglu's frame. There is nothing about steroid-like about that frame.
That dude's big. I saw him on a podcast. He was talking shit too about his time in Orlando.
Oh, he was talking shit about his time in Orlando?
Yeah, well, they were just like the kind of team that they had back then because, you know, they had Dwight Howard. But they were like, somebody played a prank. I think it was on him. And he wasn't having it, you know. You know, Europeans, you don't prank an older European dude.
Oh, yeah, because their sense of humor isn't quite American.
Yeah, they're still got shit up their ass. Lighten up, guys.
Okay, but my biggest takeaway from this year's draft lottery is the combine workout of Zach Edey.
Wow. Looking
like his animal. His sprint.
You know what would be cool? We heard like a British dude's accent in slow motion describing him running.
And the big wildebeest frolics through the meadow.
There it is.
Trying to catch his prey. But his prey, too quick for the feeble animal.
That's awesome. You nailed it. That was funny.
There were two comparisons that I saw on Twitter talking about Zach Edey's run. One was Cousin Moe's from The Office. I don't know if you've seen The Office, but there is a scene where they show up to Dwight Schrute's farm and his cousin Moe's is running next to the car and he just looks like awkwardly running. That's one. And the second one was from Happy Gilmore. Remember the big dude who had the nail in the head?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when Shooter McGavin runs away with his green jacket and he's chasing him, he says, "I believe that belongs to Mr. Gilmore." He just starts running. That's Zach Edey.
Dude, you gotta do this voiceover with him running the video and put that out.
I'll do it. Yeah, I'll make it happen this week.
Oh my god.
But yeah, Zach Edey's athleticism is similar to that of a toddler who's just learning about motor functions.
A big toddler.
Enormous toddler. A big ass toddler that at birth was probably an 18-pound baby.
Dude, he's a big boy.
He is 7'4".
But he was shooting threes too. He's trying to show that he could stretch the floor.
He better, because all he really had was a jump hook.
Yeah. If he can, like we were talking about before, if he can get some range and be able to stretch the floor a little bit, he'll play. He'll get some burn in the NBA because he'll still rim run. He'll still be able, if you got a little guy on him, he could probably, you know.
I hope he runs.
Well, that's the other thing too, is that it slows down your pace though overall. Like a lot of these bigs, and I guess that's the give and take of, like, you know, the run and gun. Sometimes you got to pick your time, you know, pick your spots, but you got to have a big on the floor.
I can't wait to see him run again. There goes Cousin Moe's. I believe that's Mr. Gilmore's.
That guy needs to get paid, man. He missed out on NIL money.
That's true. That's the one thing I think is really fucked up, is that he was missing out on the NIL deals because he's not or he's Canadian. And he couldn't earn money in America, which is fucking stupid. Like, why? What does it matter? What does it matter? Fuck that.
Red tape.
Get free Zach Edey.
Yeah, free Edey.
Free Edey. Okay, we're getting loopy. We're getting towards the end of this. All right, man. Computer Club. What's your Computer Club pick of the week?
Colin Coward.
Okay. The Herd.
Yeah. So again, this guy with his hat backwards situation where He said about Brock Purdy. He said it about now Reddick on a podcast that, you know, can't take a job serious if you got your hat backwards. You're not here to prepare. I can't trust you with my team and running a team, and I can't trust you. And I'm thinking, like, this is get off my lawn, right? Because what is somebody's intellect? They could be smart as shit, right? And you wore your hat a certain way makes you smarter. I didn't like that. So I had a comparison, right? I'm thinking A-team. Think A-team, Colin, old ass. He'll remember that. Where when the guys at Special Forces, Green Berets, the dudes who are on the toughest missions in the world, right? When they're sitting around and plotting and planning this shit out, and they're at the big table and they're sitting there and they're talking about all this shit, and you got one of the dudes who's like running it, and he's sitting there and he's been stressing all day, and he has his army hat on, right? And it's backwards. Now, you're telling me you see that? You're not going to bet? You're going to bet that that guy's not going to make it home because his hat's backwards? You're judging this dude's fortitude, how big his balls are, if he can make a decision and tactically get in and out and be safe because his hat's backwards? No, you wouldn't question it, right? You'd be like, dude, this guy's a fucking 4-star, 5-star. He's a Navy SEAL. I don't give a shit what he wears around his head. He's badass. And it's just the fact that the whole, to me, it's like a form of judgment, you know? It's like, why are you already assuming something that's so old school, get off my lawn kind of shit? It's like, dude, that's, I don't know. I just felt like that was like, you fucking old man.
Yeah, that was a scorching hot take from Mr. Colin Cowherd. I heard about that. You had actually brought it up to me earlier last week, and I was like, what does that fucking matter? Like, who gives a shit? He also has this thing about, or Cowherd does, he also has this thing about wearing a player's jersey.
Oh, yeah, he's very...
He's like, how are you going to wear another man's name on your clothes?
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck? Like, I'd wear a Jalen Brunson jersey. Like, I'd wear my Patrick Ewing jersey. Like, it's because I love those players.
Yeah, how dare you, Eric?
Oh, yeah.
How dare you live your life?
How dare you enjoy the players for the team that you cheer for?
Yeah, I don't think that makes or breaks. I get sometimes going overboard and doing too much of, you know, fandom.
Like, fanaticism and fanhood, two different things.
Exactly. And I don't think it's a big deal if you're sporting your team's jersey and you're walking into, or you're walking down the street, you know. I don't know. Some people do take it too far, but like, come on, guy. That doesn't deserve all of your assumptions because somebody put on a damn jersey to go to a playoff game. Or you go to a playoff game and you bought a jersey there. A lot of the time, it's the memory. It's the like, yeah, man, I got this fucking jersey in game 5 and we won. And I had the best time of my life. Like, no, Colin, don't you dare have a memory or something fun attached to it as long as you don't wear a jersey with another man's name on it.
With your head on backwards.
Yeah, God, how dare you? Double whammy. That's a double whammy. You're going straight to down. Get the hell out of here.
Okay. You know, I realized something.
It works, huh?
Well, yeah, that too. But I realized, because you had said, oh, I've got computer club this week, and I didn't have a pick. And I'm like, what am I going to say for computer club? And I realized I have one. Austin Rivers and the rest of the media personalities who are contributing to the whole NBA guys could play in the NFL or NFL guys could play in the NBA. So, as a quick reminder, Austin Rivers said on some fucking podcast,
Pat McAfee.
He said that
I like Pat.
30, like, he could, like, there could be 30 guys in the NBA right now who could go play in the NFL.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, stupid.
He clarified.
But then, I mean, he still has no regrets about what he said.
Yeah.
And then there was scorched earth coming from all directions from NFL people who were saying, well, fucking NFL guys could play in the NBA. And it started this whole fucking thing about like crossing over and doing da 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 da. Listen.
Uh-oh.
LeBron James could have played for the Detroit Lions. if LeBron James trained himself to play football his entire life, but he didn't. He just happened to be a really good natural athlete, and he was really good at football in high school, but he went to the NBA because that's what he was meant to do, and that's what he was built for. Megatron went and played for the Detroit Lions and probably played basketball pretty well, but guess what? He trained his entire upbringing to play football, and that's why he was Megatron. I am not going to sit here and say, you know what? We're just going to take this guy out of this league and insert him in this league, and he's going to be just fine. He's going to have a 12-year career. Like,
no, I don't
think
that
shit is.
No, no.
That's not going to happen. And the more people, hold on. The more people contributed to this conversation, the stupider it got for me. Like, it was just fucking stupid. Like, who gives a shit? Like, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars to play their respected sports.
Yeah.
Like, it's all fantasy anyway.
It's fantasy. It's like, but I see everybody since like the Deons playing sports, Bo playing two sports.
But that was football, like, and baseball.
Yeah. But I think it's the lure of like who could do both, or some could do both, and they're trying to pick numbers. Like, there's obviously guys I think that are playing the NBA now who could translate to a tight end or a receiver. Not everybody. There's
Antonio Gates played.
Yeah, he didn't even play college football and went to the pros. He was a college basketball player.
Exactly. Tony Gonzalez.
And there's some guys like right now, Miles Garrett. That dude is a fucking animal.
Yeah, he could hop out of the fucking gym.
That dude could probably play on the team. He might not get a ton of minutes. He'd get on the floor. So there's like, obviously there's a couple guys who, but I do feel like the basketball as a player is more skilled, takes more skill than football necessarily. You know, there are skill positions in football that obviously
JJ Watt would have issue with what you are saying, sir.
But okay, well, I'll tell me. Look, shooting a basketball is not easy. You know, you have a lot of these guys shoot and tell me football guys make three threes in a row. You'll get rid of it's not easy at all.
I can tell you this. You know? I can tell you this. There is not a guy in the NBA right now who could stand right back up after taking a hit over the middle.
Well, there's a lot of NFL guys who can't either.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
and those guys take hits every fucking Sunday. Well,
which one would you rather be? The smarter guy who doesn't
get hit? I'd rather play in the NBA and not have my fucking concussion every Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, dude.
I don't want to play football.
Like, being a pitcher is like being a quarterback. Like, you got to have, you know, this special skill set to do those jobs.
Yes.
You know, you can't just, any dickhead off the street can't do that technical stuff.
And there's only one player in NBA history, one, who could arguably say, I can start in the NBA.
Oh, I know it.
Let me finish.
I knew it. See, I'm not going to ruin it. Go for it.
Okay. One guy who could arguably say I could start on an NBA team, but if I wasn't doing this, I could be the starting quarterback of an NFL franchise, and that is none other than Florida State's Charlie Ward and New York Knicks legend Charlie Ward.
Oh, that's true. There you go. Yes.
Heisman Trophy winner Charlie Ward.
Allen Iverson might have been able to play football. I don't know. He's kind of
he's too skinny.
So little, huh? Yeah,
he's skinny.
But he was. Yeah, he'd have to.
If anything, he'll take a hit over the middle and lay there for a few minutes and then get back up because he got beat up a lot.
Yeah, I wouldn't put him in. Like, you do side routes, dude. Don't cross the middle. I want you to just burn one-on-one type shit. But he was a quarterback, I think, too, in high school.
He was a quarterback.
Okay.
He was a quarterback, yeah.
Damn, dude. Iverson was a beast. But it's hard, too. Like, football, NFL, it's a different type of mentality, too. You have to, like, want to. Or feel the need to get back up after hitting or getting hit. Obviously, being on defense is probably funner because you're doing the hitting, but it's still a toll. But then being on offense and getting fucking everybody's attacking you if you have a ball in your hand, and then you got to get back up. Like, that's like a different dude, you know? Every guy is doing that in any sport. Like, they could be the most athletic guy in the world, but like, you got to have, it's different to play football.
It's absolutely different.
Yeah.
I do not want to play professional football.
No, I wouldn't.
I would not play professional football. I'll play professional basketball. Like, that'd be fun. Absolutely. Pay me millions of dollars to dribble the ball up and down the court.
Yeah.
Do not pay me a third of that to take a hit over the middle.
If we are picking, you know, if you had like to pick a basketball, baseball player, football player, and they were doing one of these like 50 different sports and it was a contest, I'm still picking a basketball player to win it.
I feel
like basketball players can translate to other sports, I feel, then easier, or like maybe not easier, but at a better rate.
We need to, all right, then we'll have to have a future podcast wherein we draft players in each league with players from the other league.
It'll be like the ultimate Ironman competition. We'll come up with different, you know, things that they have to do, like different tests and whatever. And then that would be kind of cool. It's kind of some fucking nerdy Dungeons and Dragons of sports.
Sure. I appreciate you trying to contribute to the pop culture side.
I stepped on the lore without asking. Oh, how dare you, Waters. Back to your cage.
All right, man. All right, we got to get out of here. Go ahead and plug and shout out whatever it is you want to give some shine to.
Shine to myself.
Of course.
At Just Waters 11 on Instagram and
Affiliated 365 on Twitter, because
yeah,
you don't have any brand consistency across platforms. I'm always wondering how I should tag you.
I used to have Affiliated for like everything, and then freaking scammers from some other country duped me and thought I was one of my students asking for help, and there we go. So I've had to like restart, and that's been a pain in the ass. So once I could find the one name where I could fly it all the way across, we're going to get on that. So for right now, though, everybody, follow me, cottonbureau.com. You put my government in there and you're fine. Regardless of my platform status or wherever the social media I'm surfing in different handles, that's where you go. When you get lost, you go to Cotton Bureau and you put Justin.
Cottonbureau.com. Search Justin Waters. Got some great shirts up there. Have one, in fact, in my closet, and I very much love the outfit. So thank you for the design, Jay.
Hey, thank you for wearing it. My model.
You? I am the model Rick Martel. Do you remember that guy?
Oh, wrestling. Yes.
Oh, wrestling. Yes. I
remember. I'm more of a Brooklyn Brawler kind of guy.
Oh, my God. The can of cans for WWF Saturday mornings.
Good times.
All right, man. Well, that's it. Next week is going to be, guess what? Another basketball pod.
More basketball,
more and more basketball. All the balls in your face and in your ears. It's late. I'm loopy. Nobody's
balls are here, too.
Everybody's balls are here. Justin's balls are on the wall behind him. It's great. My balls are firmly placed at the seat of my chair. It's great.
Firmly. Everybody, get ready for the greatest narration of running in your life. You're not ready.
The Zach Eady France.
It's going to go platinum.
Across the dance.
Oh, it's going to be great. You already got the audio. Fucking gold.
It's going to be great. All right, Watts, thanks for being on the pod, man.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.